Welcome back to Plot Twist I Forgot. I'm Davin.
I'm Laura.
And it's 2025. Can you believe it?
Yay, we did it.
What do you think future Davin and Laura are like? Because we're recording this in the past times, so we haven't met them yet.
You mean Wednesday, Davin and Laura? I'm going to be exactly the same
basically
creature
yeah.
that I was in 2024. I don't want to get better. In fact, I want to get worse. That's my plan.
Is 2025 your villain era?
You know, probably not. I don't have it in me. I've gone soft the older I get, and I don't want to hurt people's feelings, like, on purpose. I do it by accident kind of all the time. But people don't get sarcasm in a way that I do. And sometimes, yep. You know. But yeah, that's no, tough. I don't know. My New Year's resolution, I saw some post that was like, you don't have to do something positive. You could do something else, you know, like revenge. And I'm vibing with
that. We're going for revenge?
Maybe. I don't have a grudge right now, but I'll remember one eventually.
And then that's when the revenge happens.
Yeah.
Well, that's really on par for our theme this month, which is serial killer thrillers. We're going to get really murdery in January.
Everyone's favorite topic, murder.
Murder, exactly. Because we have decided to reread The Nothing Man by Katherine Ryan Howard, which is phenomenal. I'm rereading it. This is your first time.
It is my first time reading it. So because excited. I started it like during Christmas, I've done this thing where I've ruined the book for myself. Because
why?
I'm 50 pages in. We're going to go back to it. I just have to bleach my brain of all the Christmas things. Because when I started reading it, every time I read The Nothing Man, I read it in the gingerbread man's voice from Shrek. Saying the Muffin Man, only it's The Nothing Man. Like, I couldn't.
That is hilarious. Yeah, you can't have that for
no,
this book. That's
I've lost control of myself. So I just have to rein that back in so I can be serious while I'm reading it.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Holy cow. Okay. Well, this was actually your pick too. So do you want to talk about like what made you want to do this one? What was it about it?
Oh yeah. So everyone loved it. I think it came out in like 2020 and I bought it as soon as it came out. And I just had never read it, and it sits on my cart, like my to-be-read-soon cart, and I'm like, it's been there for 4 years. I know you had read it, and when we were talking about doing serial killer thrillers, I was like, well, it's the perfect one.
Mm-hmm. It did come out in 2020. I got an early copy, and I swear for like a year, I just would not stop talking about it, because the premise is so cool. This was around the time when I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara came out, and that was Katherine Ryan Howard's inspiration, was like, what if he read that?
Mm-hmm. It's that, and that's so very clear. Like, that's very clear. Like the way,
and it's just such a cool premise. Like that's so cool.
So the serial killer is reading the true crime book about him, and the way that the like true crime book is written, it's just like, it's so very clear that it's influenced by Michelle McNamara, because I'll Be Gone in the Dark, I added that to the bottom of my list to make sure that we talk about it. It's like misunderstanding the assignment, right? Because we're talking serial killer thrillers and this is a true crime story, but it's the best true crime book I've ever read in my entire life. And I don't know if anyone will ever top it, to be honest.
There's no way.
Right.
No shot.
So you can definitely see the influence there reading The Nothing Man. And I'm looking forward to getting more into that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think to be honest, I'll Be Gone in the Dark ruined all other true crime books for me. Not that I won't read them. I kind of have like slowed down on true crime reading. I have a couple that I do want to, but there was just something about that book that was so like the way she wrote was so good. And then it did just suck. Like, if you've read it, you know, it was posthumously published. So there's a very distinct end. And you can just tell the way that it ended, she had so much more. And it's like, what if she could have, like, finished it? Like, what if it was her version? And the way that Katherine Ryan Howard kind of works with it, it's just cool. And she has like a shout out to her other book that I want to read in there, which I think is super fun. I don't know if you've gone like, forget if they mentioned, like, she talks about the canal killer. I don't know if you've gotten to that part.
Yeah.
So that's from her book, I think, from what I remember at the time, her other book called The Liar's Girl or Lying Girl or some form of Liars and Girl. I don't know. But it's her. She wrote a serial killer thriller, another one.
I love that. I always think it's cool where you can, like, call back to a different fictional world that you created and connect them. I think that's always such a good time.
Well, that's a good kind of yet another segue. We're going to talk about other books that we have loved within the genre. And there's an author on my list that does that just so well. And it's super fun.
I'm trying to think of who that could be.
Yeah, can you guess?
It's not happening. It's not happening. It's not there.
It'll make sense when I say it, but I was worried when we first talked about this. I was like, oh, cool. I'm just only going to have like Scandi crime to talk about, because when I hear serial killer thrillers, that's immediately where I go to because they're kind of the best.
Yeah. I have one on my list. It might be on your list too, because I believe it was my gateway drug to Nordic noir. Mm. And it's such a fun genre, and like it's always dark, and I personally don't believe the detective always has to be an alcoholic, but it seems like
apparently that's the secret sauce. Literally
it's alcohol or drugs,
some like, sort of like tragedy in your personal life too, and you know you're falling apart,
you've got a dead child probably. It's so they're very dark, but they're so atmospheric. I was actually just thinking about that like when I was making this list, because I was like, man, there's one show, I believe it's like Icelandic and it's on Netflix, I can't remember what it's called right now, and I was like, I think I need to rewatch that for vibes alone. Ooh. Like just the snowy cold. I've never read a summer Nordic noir.
I think those it's are always illegal. Like I don't think those exist.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Yeah, not at all.
It's always like this like barren winter but beautiful landscape. And also they eat a lot more cake than I do, it seems like. There's always like a coffee and cake break or like small sandwiches. And I wanna move away. Norway, Sweden, Iceland. I'll pick one.
You know what's so funny? And I saw this at the perfect time. My friend sent me this Instagram post, and who knows if it's real. I haven't like actually done a deep dive, but like Denmark offered to buy the United States. And I'm just like,
perfect.
Do it. I would love to be part of Denmark. Like, just do it. So
do they have 3 p.m. cake? I'm in.
Probably. And they also probably have a 4-day work week and are super happy and have work-life balance. So, you know.
Into it.
I'm here. I support it, especially because I know I've read Danish crime novels, couldn't tell you what it is off the top of my head, but I'm sure I've dabbled in the area. But okay, so what was your gateway into Nordic noir?
Ah, yes. And that is, where's my little list? It's The Chestnut Man by Søren Sveistrup. Everyone's gateway drug. List. So this one is set in Copenhagen. And his calling card is leaving a creepy little doll made of chestnuts and sticks. And he leaves those at his crime scenes. And examining the dolls, forensics makes a shocking discovery. A fingerprint belonging to a young girl, a government minister's daughter who had been kidnapped and murdered a year ago. A tragic coincidence or something more twisted? To save innocent lives, a pair of detectives must put aside their differences to piece together the Chestnut Man's gruesome clues, because it's clear that the madman is on a mission that is far from over, and no one is safe. Dun dun dun.
Bum bum bum. Did you ever watch the show? Because I didn't.
No. I think I watched the first episode, and that was about it. It's not that I like didn't like it. I kind of go in and out with, you know, TV. It's the same as reading books, you know, like some weeks I'm like, I've read 3 books and some weeks I've read none. It's the same with TV. Like sometimes I'm interested in it and sometimes I'm just not. I'll get around to it eventually.
Yeah, same. I'm kind of the same too. But also I feel like, I mean, I think we all read that at the same time. I literally vibes alone remember this book. I don't remember the plot at all. I do remember this one had, I feel like they kind of mistranslated or whatever word was not, whatever Icelandic. And I'm sorry, I don't remember if this was Copenhagen where the origin country is. Denmark. Bleeping that out. I think you're right.
Oh God, now I'm scared. Am I stupid? Am I dumb?
Whatever, like, the original language it was written in, because it was translated, I believe, into English, I don't think that word translates to English, because wasn't it donkey? Like, he just called the guy a donkey or something. Do you remember that?
I don't remember. No.
No, because you pointed it out to me when you read it. You're like, why did he call him an angry donkey or something? It was it was such a I think he was trying to call him, you know, the other, you know,
a bad
other
word
for it. Yeah, bad word for it. And I don't know that it trans. So it was just in an interrogation. He calls him a donkey. And
that's like, amazing.
Cool.
See, and that right there is why you read books in translation.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, that one was really good.
Yeah, it is really good. And I remember some plot points, but like that would honestly be one that I could reread because I don't remember a lot. All I know is that the mom is in government and it starts off like, Something happens to her, and then there's this connection with her missing and murdered daughter, and it goes from there. But I don't remember anything about the detectives at all, but I remember loving it a lot and loaning it out and making other people read it.
Mm-hmm. I think there's something, too, about it, and I have a question for you in a little bit, but that's one of the things I love about any kind of Nordic noir fiction is just how layered the plots seem to be. Like, it's never just like, sure, you may be able to guess who it is or something, but there's always like 8 different revelations that you have within the book that's not even the main twist of who did it or whatever it is. So it's just a good time.
I agree.
My next one, so surprisingly, I have some that aren't Nordic noir. My first one is You Shouldn't Have Come Here by Geneva Rose. Did you read this one?
Is that the one with the videotape on the cover?
No, that is Home is Where the Bodies Are. This was her release last year.
Okay, I read, no.
Got it. So this one is very fun because you can, when you're reading it, it's just something is off. And you don't know what it is. It is really cool twist. Kind of just, if you've read her books, you know she has a really great twist in it. But this one follows Grace Evans, who is, of course, an overworked New Yorker who wants a total escape. And she books an Airbnb in this ranch that's in the middle of Wyoming. And she gets there, and the guy who owns it is like this super hot dude named Calvin. And, you know, he's like showing her the way around and everything. And, you know, but of course, as always, there's no cell service. There's also the fact that, you know, a missing woman, you know, kind of happened. And she just gets this weird feeling. But despite that, as one does, they start to fall for each other. And, you know, she's there for like a week or something. I don't even remember how long, but some stuff starts happening and it just gets weird. In the best way. And you gotta read it. It's really great in audio too. I really like the narrators. It's 2 narrators for both because it's dual POV. So you get Grace's point of view and Calvin's point of view. And I would just cancel plans because I remember getting to the twist as I was at work because I was like coming into the office for the day. And I was just like, how am I supposed to work when this just happened? Like, excuse me? How dare you?
I'm gonna have to call off. So sorry.
Yeah, I was like, I know you saw me, but I'm just going to go sit somewhere for like 2 hours and finish this book or however long I had left. Yeah. Always recommend her stuff.
Love a book where the twist is like, well, now I have to finish this.
Yeah, exactly. I remember like posting on my Instagram stories and tagging her like, again, what am I supposed to do? Like, I have to call off work. And then she reposted it. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Oh, that's fun. Her social media is so funny. She does a very good job like marketing and she does a good job on social media. Yeah.
I am like dying for the day because she's in your area of the country all the time for tours and everything, especially because she moved. But I am just like, come to Arizona once, please. I would love to see one of your book events in person. Just one, maybe preferably for the horror book that you just announced that you're writing.
Oh, that's straight fun. Over.
Yeah. So love her.
Good for her. All right. I have another police procedural, but it is in the UK, I believe, from what I remember. And this is The Jigsaw Man by Nadine Matheson.
How dare you?
What, is it on yours too?
Yeah,
no!
That's on my list too.
Okay, we're going to talk about it double.
I love
Are all of my books on your list?
I don't know. This is 2 for 2 so far. Let's see.
Well, we're going to find out. It's because this, and a lot of them are from that time period where, like, we were reading the same book, like, constantly.
Correct, yes. This was very 2020. Davin and Laura just figured out what arcs were and were requesting a ton and reading them together. And it was exclusively crime fiction.
Right,
so.
Yeah. So that's...
Makes
sense. So that's that then. So this is following a detective, and there's a serial killer and his copycat, and they're locked in a violent game of cat and mouse, and can DI... What does that stand for? Detective Investigator? Inspector. Detective Inspector?
Inspector.
Yeah. Can DI Angelica Henley stop them before it's too late? So on the day that she returns to active duty with the serial crimes unit, Angelica Henley is called to a crime scene. Dismembered body parts from two victims have been found by the river. The modus operandi bears a striking resemblance to Peter Olivier. I actually don't remember if that's how they say it in the book, if it's supposed to be like Oliver. Oh well. Who is the Jigsaw Killer? And he spent the past 2 years behind bars, and when he learns that someone is co-opting his signature, which is arranging the victim's body parts into puzzle piece shapes... He decides to take matters into his own hand. As the body count rises, D.I. Angelica Henley is faced with an unspeakable new threat. Can she apprehend the copycat killer before Olivier finds a way to get him first? Or will she be the next victim herself? And this was her debut novel. And Nadine Matheson, I believe, is an attorney. So it felt very real, like the reading experience. It felt like she knew what she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then because humans are dark, morbid creatures, the whole puzzle piece thing, it really got me.
Oh, of course. I remember. I would, listening to you read that makes me want to reread it because I'm 99% sure that she continued this series.
She did.
Like the inspector is. So, and I don't know. It was one of those things where I really enjoyed it. And I just fell off reading it. Yeah. It was no reason, but I do remember really being impressed by
it. Yes, especially for being a debut novel. Like, the attention to detail, the twists, the, like, originality behind, you know, the horrible stuff that happens. But still, it's original, twisted, but original. But yeah, I think there's two or three more of them now that I have to catch up on because I feel like that's part of the thing. I get involved in so many of these series and I just kind of like fall by the wayside and get super behind. Yeah. Like I did the same thing with the Lars Kepler series.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved those books too. So maybe 2025 is the year I catch up on my crime fiction because I'm definitely behind.
Oh, same. We were on a pretty good roll where every November we would read a Lars Kepler and I think we got to the most popular one.
Right.
And stopped.
Uh-huh.
And so,
The Sandman.
Yeah, The Sandman, which I remember liking. I don't remember, because everyone built that one up so much, right, because of the killer. And of course, it's a great book. I don't know that it lived up to the hype that I had in my head, to be quite honest with you, from what I remember.
Mm.
And we read this, what, 2-3 years ago at this point?
Yeah, it's got to be something like that, because I think we read that the last time I went to Florida for Thanksgiving, because that was the thing. I would always read a Nordic noir on the plane going to visit my parents for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stopped going because it's insanely expensive.
Right.
But yeah, that's... Yeah. I feel like I felt the same thing. Everyone was like, oh, this is like the best book of the series, blah, blah, blah. And I thought the other two were so good that, I don't know. I feel like those... They keep having to, like, ramp up the drama, you know, with Juna, who is the detective in the story, with his life, that I'm just like, come on, y'all.
I know. And then I remember, because when I know you laugh at this story, but when I read that series, I read the fifth one first and then went back. And I just feel, I don't know, sometimes I feel like they were just unnecessarily sexual at some times, like especially when talking about Saga.
Right.
Or Sega. I forget how you say her name, which I think it's Saga.
I think it's Saga.
Yeah,
there are some super weird sentences in there where I'm like, meh, I don't love that.
Well, not even that. There's this one scene in Rabbit Hunter where I'm like, in what world is a woman going to do that? Like, I'm sure, not to yuck anyone's yum, maybe it happens. I don't know, though. So it didn't move the plot forward. Like, if it moved the plot forward, cool, it didn't. It was just there. Anyways, we digress.
Sorry. So. Back to Nadine Matheson, who did not disappoint us in any way.
She did not disappoint us. In fact, I think we disappointed her by not continuing and just, like, kind of falling off.
I feel like a disappointment, if I'm being honest. I'm going to change that in 2025.
Oh, yeah, we are. We're going to get back 2025 resolution, try to get back into different series that we had really liked and just stopped reading, which the next one for me is definitely one of those because I actually think this series was my first Nordic noir read, or very early on in my journey of it, which is the Children's House series by Yrsa Sigurdóttir.
S. You're pretty close. I think you're missing a syllable there.
I think you're right.
But you're pretty close.
I'm not going to try again. But just look it up. The first one is The Legacy, and I swear there's one murder scene in here that
vacuum
just,
cleaner.
Yes, it lives with you. Never knew you could do that. Never thought about it.
Don't want to know.
That is so painful. And honestly, great literature. So cool.
And it's in like the first 20 pages of the book. Like that's how the book opens.
Correct. It's like,
so it's not really a spoiler, me saying that. It's like page one, vacuum cleaner. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to tell you what happens, but something bad happens.
It's not good. It's not how vacuum should be used. And
no, it's actually written in there in the instructions for vacuums. Do not do this thing.
Please do not ever, with like a diagram too. They're just like, ew, see this, no. Don't do it. X out.
No, no diagram, please.
Oh my gosh. So this one, we follow Detective, is it Huldar? Holder? Huldar?
Holder. Huldar. Huldar.
Huldar. Huldar. I am so sorry. This is like, yeah, pronouncing any name of any kind is just not really my strong suit. So we follow the detective who is, of course, out of his death. And this is his first murder case. And it's nothing like he's seen before, which is a bizarre attack on a seemingly blameless woman. The only evidence is a list of numbers found at the scene and the testimony of the victim's 11-year-old daughter who isn't talking. While his team attempt to crack the code, Huldar turns to child psychologist Freya for her expertise with traumatized young people. Because time is running out, and the one thing they know for certain is that the murderer will strike again. And if I remember correctly, I actually think I remember the twist of this, like who it is. And it was a good one.
I don't remember anything. And to be honest, I'm not even sure I finished it.
Really?
I'm not sure. I know that I read some of it, but I don't remember anything about it, like at all, which makes me think, because usually I'll remember like bits and pieces or at least something I thought was funny or weird. But all I remember from that is the vacuum. So I'm not sure I finished it.
Yeah, I did end up reading. I remember when I read it, I think I read all three back to back, or I think the first two and then the next one came out. I read them really quickly. But then the next three, from what I know, I don't think are translated or readily available. Because I got I got an ebook, so that's kind of just the route I wanted to go, and it doesn't look like those are available. So they may be translated just like one of those mass market paperback situations or something. So
yeah, I have kind of a mass market paperback kind of thing. Yeah, but or at least one, my copy.
Highly recommend that one if you want to get into. I think that's a good entry point too. It is very intense, so be prepared for that, but it is really fun for people who like crime fiction.
Yeah. She writes some interesting, like, supernatural thrillers and then, like, a little bit horror, too.
She does, and I want to read more of her horror because I think I've only read one supernatural horror book, which was really good. I think it was kind of falls in line with the horror we like of emotional. I think it was If I Remember You is what I read, or You Will Remember Me, or something.
Is that the one that I just read?
I don't know.
Oh, what God, I don't even know now.
You have to Hold look.
On. I Will Remember You.
I think that's what it was.
Oh, no. I read The Undesired.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've read that one yet.
I liked it, but I finished it the day that the election results were announced. And was not a good day to finish that story.
I can only imagine.
I won't go into detail, but give that some time.
Yeah, maybe don't read that just yet. What is your next one?
All right. I have The Whisper Man by Alex North.
Love.
And I want to say that there is like a kind of supernatural element to this one as well, but I can't really remember. But I feel like that was part of the discourse around this book. Like people either loved it or like weren't really a fan, because I think there's like a secret supernatural aspect kind of woven into it. But maybe I'm wrong. It's a father and son story Tom Kennedy believes a fresh start will help him and his young son, Jake, to heal after the sudden death of his wife. A new beginning, a new house, a new town, Featherbank. But the town has a dark past. 20 years ago, a serial killer abducted and murdered 5 residents. Until Frank Carter was caught, he was nicknamed the Whisper Man, for he would lure his victims out by whispering at their windows at night.
Cringe.
Gross. Just as Tom and Jake settle into their new home, a young boy vanishes. His disappearance bears an unnerving resemblance to Frank Carter's crimes, reigniting old rumors that he preyed with an accomplice. Now, detectives Amanda Beck and Pete Willis must find the boy before it's too late, even if it means Pete has to revisit his great foe in prison, the Whisper Man. And then the little boy starts acting strangely when they move into this new house and he starts hearing whispers.
Hard pass.
No. Never get me that way, because if you're whispering at my window, I am not coming outside.
Absolutely not. No, I'd be like, actually get away, I'm calling the cops.
I'm going to sit in a windowless room.
Yeah,
and
hard pass.
Call the police. I'm not, no.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It might have worked on child lore though. Maybe I was like, oh, someone wants to play. Probably not.
Oh no, a new friend is at my window whispering random stuff to me. You know, just no big deal. But I think you're right. I think this one did have some sort of supernatural, because I feel like all of his books And I say all of his books. I didn't read The Angel Maker yet. I need to. But the first two, I think, did kind of have an otherworldly tinge to it. And I think a lot of people, not a lot, but some people don't like it. Where do you stand on the whole, like, if it is going to be a supernatural element in a crime story, do you like it? Do you not? Like, where are you at with that?
I like it a lot. I think I would prefer to, like, know going in that it's not, like, hard crime fiction, you know? That there's some supernatural thrown in there. But I do love a bit of the supernatural in there. Like, I just think it makes it fun sometimes. I do kind of want to know. Like, I don't remember being, because The Whisper Man was Alex North's first book.
Yeah.
And I don't remember being upset by it, but I remember reading reviews that were like, oh, supernatural. Meh.
Yes.
So I feel like if you know going into it, you have less of those kind of reactions.
Yeah. And I think too, like, I still feel like, you know, some people are kind of divided on how they read. Like, they're either going to be like really into mysteries and romance, or like thrillers and mysteries. Like, there's not a lot all the time overlap. From what I know. So I think a lot of people kind of just don't, they're not reading it for the horror aspect like that, like we kind of are. Mm-hmm. So like, I personally don't mind it, but I think when it gets into that realm of almost like where it kind of comes out of the blue is where I don't like it. Like, if you have it throughout, cool, but it still just has to make sense in this world. It doesn't have to make sense, like it wouldn't happen in reality, but with what you've done, if it makes sense, cool. I don't care that it was some entity or some, I don't care.
If you're just throwing it in there because you don't know how to end the book or you want, like, a little spice or whatever, that's a hard pass.
Exactly. If nothing led up to it, and I think that's the same just, like, when the reveal happens. Like, does that reveal make sense, or is that just to shock people and it didn't hold up at all?
Yeah.
That can definitely make or break it for me. My next one is kind of not really a curveball, but I haven't seen this one talked about since it came out. And I remember when it came out, it made such an impact, which is Notes on an Execution by Danya Kukovka. I am so sorry, I did not look up how to pronounce the name. Did you read this?
I didn't, but I know the cover is purple and there's a locket on the front.
Correct. So I think with you liking, oh goodness, Bright Young Women, with you liking that, I think any fans of that would love this book, because it very much focuses on women and their relationship to this serial killer. So it starts off with a notorious killer, Ansel Packer, and he's about to be executed in 12 hours. So we get his point of view as well. And of course, in the synopsis, it says, you know, he doesn't want to die. He wants to be celebrated and understood, just like all male serial killers. Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So then,
let me understand you. I'm so sorry for your pain.
Oh my goodness, this is what happened to me. Yeah, so we get the point of view of his mother, Lavender, who is 17 years old when she has him. Hazel, who is twin sister to Ansel's wife, and I get, you know, there's like that kind of dynamic between the sister. I don't think the sister liked her. I don't remember all the details, to be honest, of like that kind of interrelationship drama. And then you have Safi, who is a detective who spent years trying to take him down. So they're all just really, the whole book is just reminiscing on like, okay, how he grew up, like what were his mother's circumstances when she had him, what was her relationship like with his dad. To be honest, I don't remember the sister's point of view that well. I remember Safi's, the detective, and it was just really, it's just one of those ones that's done well, just talking about the female experience as it relates to how something like this can impact you and impact everything and color everything. And it is kind of heavy, but I think it's worth reading for a little bit of a more serious kind of read, I guess, if you're in the mood for that.
Yeah. I love that it's told from like the points of view of the women in his life.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to me. I'm sure it's very dark though.
Oh, it is. Cause you also, I think you get his point of view. I think it is a little few and far between and maybe shorter chapters, but it is definitely really heavy. Cause like his mom isn't in a great situation, and you know, you have Safi going up through the police department, and of course, you know, that's never a great time for a woman. So
yeah.
And just dealing with the impact that something like this has on you. It is definitely heavy. It's like one of those ones, like a heavy, imagine watching a heavy true crime documentary. That's kind of the same vibe that this brings.
Right. I will have to add that to my list of getting back into crime fiction in 2025.
Yes. And the audio is the way to go. I really liked this one in audio.
Perfect. You know, I love an audiobook.
There you go. Your first audiobook of 2025.
That's asking a lot.
January 1st, I expect a text from you that's like, and I started.
And here I am. All right. My next one is Please See Us by Caitlin Mullen.
Oh, I never read this one.
Oh, it's so good. So it's a literary thriller. It's a bit denser and heavier than like a popcorn read or like an easy read. It's very dark. It's very layered. And I remember reading it and being like, why is no one talking about this? Because it's so good. But that's all I remember about it, being very clear.
Very good. No one talked about it. Go read it.
Because I believe I read it in 2021. And I know that it's set in Atlantic City. And I think she's like coming home after having a hard time or something. That's what I remember. But here's the synopsis. Summer has come to Atlantic City, but the boardwalk is empty of tourists. The casino lights have dimmed, and two Jane Does are laid out in the marshland behind the Sunset Motel, just west of town. Only one person even knows they're there. Meanwhile, Clara, a young boardwalk psychic, struggles to attract clients for the tarot readings that pay her rent. When she begins to experience very real and disturbing visions, she suspects they could be related to the recent cases of women gone missing in town. When Clara meets Lily, an ex-Soho art gallery girl who is working at a desolate casino spa and reeling from a personal tragedy, she thinks Lily may be able to help her. But Lily has her own demons to face. If they can put the pieces together in time, they may save another lost girl, so long as their efforts don't attract perilous attention first. Can they break the ill-fated cycle, or will they join the other victims?
Ooh, okay. I remember, I don't know why, I remember being on the fence about this one, I think because I heard it was a literary crime novel.
And sometimes when that comes out, I'm like, it's going to be too, you know, wordy. Like, they're doing too much. Absolutely not. It's so good. It's very thoughtful. I feel like there's no detail in that book that isn't, like, worthy. In a way, it's beautifully written. I'm surprised that more people don't talk about it. And this came out during the time when, like, the literary thriller was, like, the thing.
Yeah.
So maybe it just got, like, skipped over, but it's, like, criminally underrated. It's so good.
I'll have to add that to my list then. Did you physical with your eyes or ears?
I read it with my eyes.
Eyes, okay. I might have to. I feel like sometimes those ones are just easier to digest over audio. So I think I'll probably go the audiobook route.
I'm not sure who narrates it, but it's not super long either.
This is just totally came into my head and it's so random. I wonder if I downloaded the audiobook, but speaking of narrators, I'm like 90% sure. Have you seen that book, How to Murder Your Employer?
No.
Okay, it's, I've seen it all every time I go to Barnes & Noble, but I'm like, I think Neil Patrick Harris narrates it. Yeah,
Neil Patrick
dude.
Harris.
So, yeah, we're big stands. I'll double check what it is for sure, but I had already wanted to read it, and then I saw that. Done.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm good. That has to be fun. No Here matter what it is, it has to be fun. I love Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah. I love him.
Me too. He can do no wrong. He is amazing. Okay, so my next one, this is the one that I was referring to earlier, who does like the little bit of like world drop-ins from other books, and it is Jennifer Hillier, The Butcher.
Oh, that's why.
Have you read anything by her?
No.
Interesting. Okay, so
I started The Butcher on my way to Seattle. Because I was like, I'm going to Seattle. I have to read a book set in Seattle. And I couldn't do it.
Really? You know what's so funny? I think The Butcher is my favorite book of hers, to be quite honest with you.
Because of the twists? Or because it's... I almost don't want to say this out loud. Never mind. I loved it. It was great. I don't think it's written well.
Okay, I could see that. I think this was... I don't remember where in her journey this was published, because... To me, like, I'm a big nerd, and I like understanding the call-outs. Like, even if it's a small reference and doesn't mean anything, I want to know it. So, I always recommend starting
I think it's unfair, because I do think this is, like, her first book, you know? So, The Butcher is not?
No, her first one is Creep, from what I remember.
Maybe it's just the point of view of the old man. I don't like the way he talks.
Oh, it's very brash. Yeah, and I think personally that's kind of why I thought it was fun, was because I don't know that you always get that kind of point of view. And it's just like, this is kind of how I would expect. And again, I read this so long ago, as in like 2-3 years ago. So I don't remember everything, but I think I just, the vibe that like you get from Nordic noir, where it's very just gritty and brutal, she kind of does the same thing, and I haven't found a lot of like U.S. or I'm worried she might be Canadian. I just lumped her in with the United States. I don't know.
I think she's from Seattle.
Okay, I don't know why. I just was like, what if she's Canadian?
Or she lives in Seattle, because like all of her books are set there.
Correct, yeah. Anyways, before I just, you know, keep talking nonsense, this one, again, yeah, all of her books set in Seattle, so there's like a spurt of grisly serial murders that happened until the infamous Beacon Hill Butcher was finally hunted down and killed by Police Chief Edward Shank in 1985. Now, 30 years later, he is retired, he's widowed, and he is giving up his large, rambling Victorian house to his grandson, Matt, who he helped raise. So he is settling back into his childhood home. This is Matt. He is getting back into things. He's a chef and a restaurateur. He stumbles upon this crate that he's never seen before. So he, you know, picks the padlock, and he makes a discovery so gruesome it will haunt him forever. And now, faced with this deep, dark family secret, he must decide whether to keep what he knows buried in the past or go to the police and take matters into his own hands. Then you have Matt's girlfriend, Sam, who has always thought that, hey, what if my mom was murdered by the Beacon Hill Butcher 2 years after the butcher was caught and gunned down? And so she is going on her own little manhunt. Then you have Sam, who is, or then she kind of finds out what Matt's secret is, and it just goes from there. So it's very high stakes, very, it's a lot, to be honest. It's just a lot going on, to be honest.
Yeah. And the plot is so good. I just, like, was really struggling with, like, writing style. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, it'll throw me out of the whole experience if I don't jive with it.
Yeah.
So I should probably give it another try, because it sounds amazing. And everyone else loves her books. So I think I was just maybe not in the right frame of mind. And I have to go back to being a vibes, good times reader and not a critical reader.
Honestly, Sam, like, critical reading is amazing. I like being a vibes reader, because, like, obviously, it's not, as long as it's not, like, crazy, like, offensive and all, like, that's, you know, I can forgive a lot. Not that, but anything
else. I'm just
here
for a good time, baby. I don't
Correct.
Care.
If it entertains
you can't spell me neither. You know, I need to get I need to get back into that.
Oh, goodness. No, and I agree, though. If it doesn't work writing style-wise, it's just not going to happen. You have to connect in some way. So, yeah, her books are fun. I think, like, Jar of Hearts is great. That's her most popular one.
I think that's the one that kind of, like, blew her up on the internet, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one everyone talks about, which is great. But in my opinion, I think The Butcher was very underrated. Or at least, like, I don't see people talk about as much. So, do you have another one?
I do. I have one more, but this is more of an honorable mention situation because I have not read it, but I bought it the day I heard about it, and now it sits at me and stares at me forlornly from my bookshelf.
What is it?
But 2025 is the year, and I think it's a TV show on Apple TV or something now. And this is The Shining Girls by Lauren Bukes. So this is more of a science fiction thriller because it follows a time-traveling serial killer who targets young women in Chicago across several decades. And the story centers on Harper, a drifter who marks his victims with gifts before returning years later to kill them. However, his ability to travel through time is glitchy, and then one victim attempts to expose him. So I know, like, the basic plot that it's a time-traveling serial killer, and it's set in Chicago, and that was really all I needed, and I went out and bought it, and then I never read it, like a big loser. but I need to get to that, because I don't know. There's something about kind of like a sci-fi aspect to a thriller that you don't get a lot, you know? You get a lot of like multiple POV books where it's like, maybe it's haunted or maybe they're a werewolf, you know? But you don't get any, you don't get like, I travel in time or like, I'm from outer space. I don't know.
That sounds amazing.
I feel like sci-fi, yeah, I feel like sci-fi doesn't come into play a lot. So it's kind of like a different spin on your traditional crime fiction. And I think that's really fun. I just have not gotten around to reading it, but I want to very badly.
I am so mad that I've never heard of that before because that plot alone, same. I would hear time traveling serial killer and I don't need to know anything else at all. I'm just gonna go buy it
exactly
and read it and hope it's as phenomenal as I imagine it to be.
I hope so because it's lived in my head for so many years now that like if I read it and it's not everything I hoped it would be, I'll be very sad.
Oh, that's almost worse.
And it's a TV show now, and my favorite thing to do is read a book, and then, so I'm a vibes reader, I'm here for a good time. If you adapt a book into a TV show or movie, I am now very critical, and I'm gonna be like, that didn't happen, that is wrong, because I'm the most annoying person on the planet.
Dude, no, seriously, like, I can't even talk about certain adaptations, because I get so angry, and I just, like, you know, namely, like, Shadow and Bone Season 2. Can't go there.
But the goat, though, the goat was so cute.
Oh, goat's cool, but you rearrange the plot, and then this happens three books sooner. Like, go away. I hate it here. Go. I'm just going to go toss myself into a fire now. But I am also that annoying person that's just like, there are some things. Like, I think the only adaptation that I actually liked more than the book was Behind Her Eyes by Sarah Penborough. Did you read, watch that?
I did read and watch it. That was another one where, like, I'm a vibes reader. So, like, the thing that everyone got really pissed about did not piss me off because I was just like, yeah, whatever. Sure.
Well, were you pissed about the twist? Because I liked the twist. I was mad about how...
No. I thought the twist was kind of fun.
No, I loved the twist. Twist was great. I just didn't like how whiny she was of, oh my gosh, like, I'm friends and I shouldn't be with him, but I'm going to be with him anyways. And oh my gosh, why don't I have more self-esteem? Like, pick a lane, girl.
It's giving Violet.
Yes, exactly. Pick a lane. Just fall and either be your worst self and not care that you're doing it, or...
Worst self.
Or just stop doing it. I don't have sympathy, and I hate that this is taking up so much of reading space when it could just, you have this cool plot coming. I thought it was good. So I liked that they made her character a little less annoying to me personally. That was
appreciative. I don't remember a lot about it other than the ending, to be honest.
Well, that's the only thing. Like, that's it. I remember I had a friend who was reading a book, and I won't say what it was, this doesn't happen, but reading a book, and they're like, oh yeah, it has, you know, it has this kind of ending, and it was that book. I'm like, okay, well, there's only one thing that means if you're going to compare these two things, so sick.
Yeah,
thanks. Like, love that.
You just ruined everything.
Yeah, because it's not vague at all. It was kind of, but anyways, yeah. That was the only, we're going to have to do an episode on adaptations. I feel like that would probably be 8 hours long, but I have many bones to pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably do too.
I probably do too. That's not today's episode, though. That's a whole
That's going to be thing. My grudge. This is what I'm going to get revenge on in 2025.
All the adaptations that did
bad
you
adaptations.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna so do it. If you were going to tell someone, like, someone wants is coming to you and they're like, "Hey, I want to get into crime fiction. What is the first book you're going to recommend them?" Out of either ones you talked about today, or maybe an honorable mention that you didn't.
Like crime fiction altogether, or specifically serial killers? Because that's hard.
Serial killers. Yeah. They want a serial killer thriller. They've never read one before.
I mean, yeah. I'm probably going to go with The Chestnut Man. This is not... I actually don't remember the plot of this at all. But trying to get into crime fiction, detective fiction, you have to say The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, because everyone says it.
Fair.
And... it's such a good series. I haven't read any of the continuations because I don't care anymore. But I cared fervently like 7 years ago. So I think that would be up there. And then something that I didn't mention that I think should now be like required reading if you are a crime fiction fan is The Quiet Tenant.
That was going to be mine. Katrina
Yeah,
Enberg.
By... It's by Clemence Michelon.
Oh, I'm thinking of The Tenant. Okay. I haven't finished The Quiet Tenant. I was trying to read that when I was in a reading slump because everyone loves it. Yeah, I
need... Yeah, but that's not a slump book.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I was like, I can see myself liking this, but not right now. Mm-hmm. Not right now. Okay, why is that your go-to?
I just think, so it's for the same reasons that I liked Bright Young Women. It's told from the point of view of a woman who, you know, is trapped in this life she didn't think she was going to be a part of. And there's a serial killer involved and you really don't hear from him. He's just kind of like there doing stuff. But like it's all told from her perspective, or there are a couple other POVs. I don't really want to say too much because I went into it pretty blind.
Oh, okay.
And it was just... it was such like an interesting weird reading experience because it's a serial killer story, but you don't hear from him at all.
Yeah, I want to read it because I heard about it. I got an arc of it. Haven't read it again just because timing and I suck. But I do want to, and I am very curious. She has a book coming out soon. She has a new book. I don't know when it's coming out, but it's a cult thriller. And
ooh.
We don't get enough of those that are done very well, so I really hope it is. With all the kind of rave reviews I heard this one getting, Quiet Tenant, I have a lot of hope for another one. And you know what is also a crime is the fact that I have not read The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Seriously?
Here's the thing. When it was coming out, my grandma was reading it, and I don't remember how old I was. I know it was, I want to say... 18? I don't remember. And I don't remember where I was at with what I was liking to read then. But I remember her telling me the ending of one of the books. I don't remember what the book was now. And I have vague whispers of what this ending was. But I was just like, cool, what if I wanted to read it? Because I do like thrillers. And you just told me this ending. So then for a while, I just didn't read it. And then now I want to read it. So
yeah.
I think I've let enough time pass.
It's funny because really the only thing from those books that I remember is that's where I learned that they have sandwiches and cake more than I do. And I'm jealous of that. Because the guy in the book is just like constantly having a little snack with his coffee. And I want to live that life.
I love that because like when I haven't watched the movies, like either variation of the movies either. I remember hearing about a scene, and that's kind of always what I associate the books with, is this one very horrific scene. And by horrific, I mean like the guy sucks, I'm assuming. So like good for her, but
yeah.
It's also kind of gnarly. So that's
yeah.
What I think of.
I know
so
I exactly like how... what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sure everyone who's read it does.
Okay, so I remember sandwiches, cake, and then that.
What a wild combination to remember is those three things. Like, very
but
nice.
But never at the same time.
What? How would that work at the same time? That's kind of concerning.
Davin, no. We're not. No.
You brought that up. Okay.
I didn't.
This was... You combined them. I... Whatever. Anyway,
what are yours? What would you do? New topic, new discussion.
Anyways, rewind. Okay, so if you were going to ask me, I'm going to actually name two that we didn't totally talk about, and I know you had very mixed feelings about Jennifer Hillier. I would honestly recommend her first two books, Creep and Freak, because of where the plot goes. I really enjoyed the layering of it, and I think for some reason... And this kind of goes back to the book we're choosing, because she mentions Ted Bundy in the book. Hashtag Ted Bundy wasn't hot. And this is, I think...
But he was a Republican.
But he was a Republican. She did... I think he's kind of supposed to be a resemblance of him in a way. And I think that always kind of draws people into crime fiction, unfortunately, is like, oh, it's about Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
But more than that, I think just the story was good. And then... Meg Gardner's series, the Unsub series.
Yes. I only ever read the first one. That's where my thing with Lightbulb Eyeballs came from. but it was, the first one was really good.
I read the
Never let somebody desecrate my corpse by putting lightbulbs in the eyeballs, though.
Okay, I'll remember that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be buried. You know how, like, back in the day when people were really worried about being dug up because of resurrectionist men? Which, by the way, I want to read that book. It's sitting on my night table. I'm listening to a lore podcast episode about resurrection men, and I have to get through some books. My TBR in 2025 is just gnarly already.
Oh, it's insane. But Aardvark did just release a playlist for that book as well, so.
I know, and the first song, I love that song. I already have it on my playlist, Achilles Go Home or something. Great song, and I'm like, damn it. I just, it has to happen. Anyways, that was a very long segue. What book did I just recommend? That's right, Unsub series. That one is really good because it's a very, they're very short, they're very quick and addictive, and they're very, you get what you wanted out of them. They're very fun, and she mimics them after real life serial killers. So if you are a true crime fan, you are going to be very easily identified who this is about and based off of. And I kind of wish I continued. I don't remember how many there are now, but I stopped after the second one. And I was kind of a little nervous about the third because I think they're going into, like, Unabomber territory or something. Or
no.
It was going to take a deviation. And I didn't know how I felt about it at the time. So, didn't continue.
The first one was really good. That's the only one I read. But that, I do feel like that series is probably, like, the quintessential, like, popcorn thriller.
Yes.
Where, like, you just can't stop reading.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, they were great. You know, there's no, I stopped because I'm lame and I just didn't continue the series. It was nothing like, and again, going back to Ted Bundy, the second book is based on his story.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good read. I just didn't continue. And that's where we're at.
Been there. Again, 2025. We're going to fix it.
Oh, we need to do an episode of, like, or just make a list of, like, all the series that we haven't finished that we need to go back to, because I am game, but it scares me. Like, if I want to restart Junalina, I can't.
No.
We're five.
I'm not restarting
we're four
it.
Books in. I just have to.
I'm not restarting it.
Hope I remember.
You can't make me.
You can't make me. I know. I need to read. You finished Stalker, right? You just recently read that one? Book four? Or is that five? Because you had the snowy one.
I think
one.
I started it.
You have the fire witness.
But I didn't finish it. The Hypnotist.
The Hypnotist was the first one. Yeah, that's, you're right. It's the Hypnotist, the fire witness. Is Sandman 3?
I have no idea.
I think it might be. I think it's Sandman, Stalker, then Rabbit Hunter. And then there's, like, I don't remember all the ones, but I know one of them is, like, this spider, and then there's Lazarus, and there's a lot, and I liked them, so... That is one I would really... I just want to get back into crime fiction. Actually, last recommendation, Ragnar Jonasson has, again, so sorry, last name, totally incorrect, has a really great series. I'm going to have to put hold music here because I wasn't planning on talking about this, to be honest. We're back. Okay, so his book series, I believe it's a trilogy, and the first one is called The Darkness. I haven't continued... with the rest of the series, and I should, because I loved the first one, And I've heard the way he plotted this one is that it goes backwards in time from that detective's life. So it starts when the first book is she's an older woman. I think she's about to retire or has just retired or something. And there's other kind of cases mentioned. And so the other books are those cases. And I think is the island. So I thought it was a really cool way to plot your series. And I need to go reread The Darkness and start the next one because it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah, that's a fun premise. I also love an older protagonist because, like, not everyone is 24.
And a detective.
So that's fun.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I do really enjoy more of that, please. More older main characters, yeah. Please.
I agree.
And not drunk detectives. So.
Ah.
Meh.
They can be drunk.
It's okay. Like, they can be a little slush. Whatever. Slush. It's fine. Yeah, so that's where we're at. Do you have any last minute thoughts about serial killer thrillers before we return in 2 weeks?
I don't. And you can cut this if you want to. But I found something on Amazon that I'm, like, super excited about. Did you know that you can order a barcode scanner and then there's a website called Libib and you can scan all your books and then you have a digital library?
You know what is so funny, and you're going to yell at me? Someone gave me that for my birthday last year and I haven't used it yet.
No, how dare you? I'm so excited. I ordered one. It's supposed to deliver today. It's how I'm going to spend the rest of my weekend because I'm going to, like, reorganize. I'm going to get new bookshelves. And I'm like, oh, as I'm redoing my shelves, I'm going to scan all of my books and it's going to be so fun for me. I'm going to play bookstore and that's going to be, I'm 6 and it's going to be a really good time.
Oh, yeah. I had the same thought because when I got it, I think a month later, I was moving into my new apartment. So I was like, oh, this will be perfect. I will just do it as I'm unpacking. But I am a legitimate crazy person and just unpacked my entire apartment the next day and didn't do it because I was so tired. And here we are. So maybe I'll do that in 2025 because the idea of having a digital library at my fingertips and I can just see, what do I own? Here it is. Everything. Right. That is so cool.
Will I ever use it? I don't know. But it just sounds like a good time. And I'm very excited about it. It was $30. So whatever.
Why not invest
fine.
In it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Go get that and go read The Nothing Man with us because we'll be back in 2 weeks to discuss it.
The Nothing Man!
And that is the only way that you can refer to it in that voice. You have to do it.
Who lives on Drury Lane? That's the whole time. I really have to, I got to scrub my brain. I don't know how I'm going to.
I don't actually, and that you just.
I can't take the book seriously. You don't understand. It's a problem. There's a part, he picks up the book, he's like in a grocery store and he picks up the book and it's just like the nothing man. And that's like a sentence. And I sat there and I laughed for probably like 3 minutes because I couldn't stop hearing it in the gingerbread man's voice. And I
love that for you. Honestly, I know it's a deterrent, but that is just kind of fun.
Yeah. So join us in 2 weeks when we're reading The Nothing Man by Katherine Ryan Howard, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Good for me. And we'll be discussing that with spoilers next week. So read it with us.
And
not next week, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
I lied. I'm a liar.
You have 2 weeks to read it. And your audiobook is only 9 hours. It's a very quick read. So
that's pretty quick.
Yeah. Join us and follow us on socials. You can find our handles below. Bye.
Talk to you soon.